And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley back in the house today, alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, nice to see you this morning.
Good to see you too. How was the mouse?
Mouse was good. Went to a nice Christmas party on Friday night at the Magic Kingdom. It was great. Hung out Hollywood Studios, Epcot Saturday, Animal Kingdom, back to Magic Kingdom Sunday. It was good stuff.
So, yeah, you guys had like the basically like the park to yourselves almost.
On Friday night, yeah.
And so you and how many Space Mountains in a row?
Several.
Yeah?
I lost count. Nice. A lot of Space Mountain on Friday night.
You got it, your good steps stuff in, Rob.
If I had to guess, probably close to 70,000 steps this weekend. It's good stuff.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And My feet still hurt.
And it was in the 80s.
It was warm. I woke up this morning, shock of how cold it was. It only took one weekend to totally undo the endurance that I'd built up to the cold.
Yeah, and we've been doing pretty well, but yeah, we're back to reality now.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But no, it's a good time. How'd the show go yesterday? My man David Beauclair in.
Yeah, Beauclair. Michelle didn't realize that he always has a toothpick in his mouth until he did the whole show with the toothpick.
It's really impressive.
It is. Yeah. So, no, it was good. It was good. You know, with him in here, I wanted to, like, rip Jared a lot yesterday for some of his tweets, but then I was like, yeah, I'll just save that for you. So we could do that today if you want. We gotta hit our 60% quota on talking about Jared.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I will say, since I didn't get a chance to comment on it yesterday, congratulations to the Detroit Lions. I mean, what a win. My goodness.
Yeah, and what a celebration.
What a celebration.
I mean, if you're going to get one win in a year, I mean, then you better milk it, man. I mean, I got ratioed by Lions Twitter pretty hard, which actually I was impressed that there is a Lions Twitter.
Yes.
You know? But for making fun of the celebration, because, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, like, they're crying and hugging, and it's like, you're 1-10-1.
But they did it, though. They did it.
But, you know, it's like, I don't know. You feel good for Dan Campbell, because I don't know if he's a really good coach at all, you know? I guess we'll find out if he ever gets any players, but you got to feel good for that guy.
Sure.
And they did. I mean, you know, they dedicated the ball to the Oxford community, which was
good.
Nice. Horrible situation up there. So roar restored.
The roar has been restored at least temporarily for 1 week up there. What a game last night! Playing in a snowstorm/windstorm. Between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots get it done 14-10. Mac Jones with maybe the most incredible stat line you'll ever see in an NFL football game at the quarterback position, finishing 2 of 3, playing the entire game, finishing 2 of 3 for 19 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 3 pass attempts for Mac Jones in this game. Quite something.
And a 12-yarder. He was 1 for 1 for, I think, 12 yards from almost the entire game. And that required Jonnu Smith to make like an ESPN top 10 leaping one hand tip to himself play.
Yep.
To catch it. Like that's one of those games where it's a big deal for the Patriots. Good for them. I think if it's normal conditions, I still think Buffalo beats them by 10 points. But doesn't matter. The bottom line is you're in a situation where you couldn't throw the ball, and you knew they weren't going to throw the ball. And they ran on you all day.
Yeah.
And I think you see with the Bills' defense, man, we saw it here with the Derrick Henry. And that's really the winning play in that game was Damian Harris going for 65 yards over like one play against that D. But then the rest of the night, they just kept running, like getting 4 or 5 yards every time. So impressive for the Patriots. I still don't think they're great at all. But and Mac Jones, like, I mean that was a circumstance where you're gonna, you know, because of the wind that you're not gonna. But Mac, I don't buy them as a team that's gonna make a run in the playoffs. But we'll see. They're the one seed right now.
They are.
The Titans really could have used a Buffalo win. Although there's a long way to go.
There is a long way to go. New England, 46 carries, 222 yards last night. They ran the ball 46 times in that game.
So if you take away the big one, that's 45 for about one. So it's about you know, a lot of 4 yards a carry. That's not amazing, but hey, no. I mean, it's enough to keep the ball. And it's a red zone defense game. You know, the Bills had their chances, and I don't know. Did you think that was PI? Did you see the?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was close. It could have been PI on the Patriots, but Belichick's back. At least now, like, we can get rid of what we heard last year, you know, the whole, like, it was Brady. It wasn't Belichick. And of course, it's always been both of them.
That path to the Tampa Bay New England Super Bowl, it's still there, buddy.
Yeah, that'd be something.
It would be something for sure. Josh Allen, on the other side of things, threw the ball 30 times last night. So one quarterback throwing it 3 times, the other one throwing it 30 times. 15 of 30, 145 yards, 1 touchdown. Tough conditions to be throwing the ball in last night. Number one, New England's got a pretty good secondary, and I think we've seen that all season long. But number two, when the wind is swirling like it was last night, tough to throw the ball, tough to kick the ball last night as well.
Yeah, I thought maybe because after the Pats' first touchdown, they went for two, got it, and I was like, is this going to be a kicker-free game? But actually, it went okay for the kickers after that. But yeah, I mean, I actually thought Josh Allen was pretty good considering. I mean, you had to basically throw darts, you know, short range, but he threw a couple passes downfield. I mean, I was like, did he judge the wind and like throw it right to so it'd go 10 yards
curve
left.
Back in?
Yeah. He was good, and you know, running the ball too. Just, you know, you gotta execute in the red zone. I didn't think Brian Daboll had a very good night.
Well, here they are again in a situation where their leading rusher in the game is Josh Allen, 39 yards. Their leading rusher on the ground, Singletary, 10 carries for 36. Zach Moss, 8 carries for 21. So, you know, after the Titans ran all the way through the Patriots with, you know, the crew they had last week, you still have a Buffalo team that, outside of their quarterback, really can't run the ball at all, and that's going to be a big problem for them as they move forward here. Especially as, you know, let's say they start hosting playoff games or they're playing in conditions similar to last night. Like, that's a perfect example of why you need to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's the thing. It's also, you could look at it from either perspective and say, see, there you go, the Patriots, you know, that defense is awfully good. And it is, but again, we just watched the Titans go for 270 on it. So I don't know what it all means, but I think it's pretty consistent with Buffalo that they're just it's Josh Allen is their running game.
Yeah.
Now, could they still make a run? I still think they can. I still think they can make a run in January. But that defense, that was discouraging on that night that you can't figure out a way to, you know, put them in third and long and make them throw the ball. And you never did.
And now Buffalo, the 7th seed as it stands today in the AFC. So New England at 1, the Titans now at number 2 in the AFC. Baltimore 3, Kansas City 4, Chargers 5, Bengals 6, Buffalo at 7. In the AFC. So that's a costly loss for the Bills last night. They'll have another crack at the Patriots coming up in a couple of weeks. But Bills are going to need to win that game in a couple of weeks against the Patriots for sure.
I'm going to call a shot right now.
Okay.
They will win that game.
Okay. I like that.
Well, you did pick them to win in Pigskin Pick'em.
Oh, that's boy. True. And they should have won.
At home.
In Pigskin Pick'em.
But did they?
They did not. But I just called a shot that they will next time. Good for the Patriots. Took advantage of the situation. The Patriots are going to be everybody's darling like they kind of have been already. They're fine. But then again, I mean, who in the AFC are you like? It's probably the Chiefs. That's probably who I have the most confidence in right now is the Chiefs. And it's not a ton.
No.
Like, there's just – which is going to be fun. It's going to make for a fun playoffs.
I think so, too. Can't wait to see the Pittsburgh Steelers find their way into the Super Bowl this year out of the AFC. Going to be fun to watch.
I mean, who knows? big win for the Steelers. They're right there, so they're the next team back, right? Yeah, 6-5-1, and then you have the Colts. I do think that the Colts, I like the Colts' chances to be part of this. And I tell you what, that's a team that might not want to play. So right now, the pairings, the Titans would be, so they would actually have the Bills in here,
they'd have
in the 2-7 game. Yeah,
Hey,
I mean, you know, beat them once, but I don't know. I don't know. It's like there's no dominant team, and there's also no matchup you feel great about. I mean, who knows what you might get from the Bengals and Chargers, who just played this weekend. And, you know, I never would have guessed the Chargers would thump the Bengals in Cincinnati like they did, but they did.
Yeah, the takeaways that I have from this weekend, number one, the AFC is wide open. Number two, that Titans loss to the Texans continues to look worse and worse. My goodness, how did they lose that game? Gracious. 31-0 they lost to the Colts.
The funny thing is that game was like, it was like 7-0 well into the second quarter. The Colts Twitter was going nuts. They were, and Tyrod Taylor threw a pick like right away, gave him a TD. And then eventually it was there was a point where, like, as soon as you get separation, they
just fold.
They were done. And that's, you know, when they played here, that's what you got to do. You can't let them have that life. And then you can't do a whole bunch of things the Titans in that game. Yeah, that loss is going to look just beautiful, just like the Jets loss. But those wins are holding up.
Holding up good. And as much as we've crapped on the Titans the last couple of weeks, here they sit, 8-4, number two right now in the AFC, and still in a pretty good spot as they get back in action this week. And speaking of back in action, maybe some good news on that front yesterday for the Titans as well when it comes to a star wide receiver. We'll get into that coming up next. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Row here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back on Julio for a second. How hopeful are you that by shutting him down and maybe getting him back now that we'll be able to break the cycle of play a couple of weeks and have a setback?
We're just focused on today. We're focused on today and seeing how he responds.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference discussing Julio Jones, who has been designated to return from practice, Joe Rexroad. And we've talked about Julio a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks. Shutting him down, trying to get that hamstring injury healed up. It looks like he's going to take a shot at things at practice this week, and we'll see whether his hamstring responds favorably or not. You know, I think there's cautious optimism, maybe. I know Ian Rappaport got on the NFL Network yesterday and said basically that the thought process at the time was to shut him down, see if he can get ready to go coming down the stretch. And now this week we'll see how Julio Jones and his hamstring responds. Just the tough part of it is, as you've mentioned, you know, it could respond well today, could respond well as the week goes on, and then Friday you're running around and all of a sudden that thing could pop and you're in trouble. So you never really feel like you're out of the woods this year, especially on this team, with a hamstring injury, that's for sure.
By the way, Rappaport also, throws in there, when Derrick Henry comes back.
the match between him and Schefter continuing on very strong.
Well, Schefter continues to say, too bad Derrick Henry's done it for the season, because, they both don't know, and so should both just shut up about it, but they can't stop. They just can't stop. But, I would call this best case scenario. I mean, the fact that he's returning to practice doesn't mean he's going to play Sunday, and I guess you could look at it. You could look at it, although I don't know that I would look at it this way. You could look at it like maybe one more week, and then he's ready for Pittsburgh, and you can still beat the Jags without him. But, I don't know. At the same time, you have to get this game, and obviously. So any help you can get, you need. But, the fact that he's activated return to practice this week, it basically confirms, I think, what we thought, which is – that this was an attempt to just, let's just take some time and see if this will go away. And who knows if it will. Yeah, he's had other moments this season where it was fine for a little bit, and then you've got the pull of the hamstring. I don't know how you, there's no way to know for sure that you, and again, the fact that it is basically it's what messed him up last year is not great, but this is it. This is the chance for that. There's still time for this trade to work out for the Titans. And I mean, if he comes in there and he is full Julio, even full Julio that we saw this year, then he's clearly their number one option on the outside, and it changes the offense.
It does, and now the Titans have 3 weeks to activate him to the active roster. Also, Racy McMath and Dane Cruikshank placed on return to injured reserve list as well yesterday as well. So maybe some good news on that front, starting to get some bodies back. Dane Cruikshank, obviously, as we know, important on special teams, has played some good snaps this year on the defensive side of the ball as well. The thing to remember with Julio is, like, once you get him back and back in there, like, if this thing pops up again, you can't put him on injured reserve again if you want him to come back this year. So this is it for Julio Jones. This is when the hamstring's got to respond.
Yeah, I mean, it would just go back to just weekly waiting and seeing. Yeah, so. But, yeah, they need him. You know, they get A.J. Brown back. If by chance they get Derrick Henry back, they still need him to be part of it. But it's a different kind of need now. You know, with the situation there with the passing game. So, if you threw him in there and you can kind of bump everyone down, you know, you still have Chester Rogers. Now, Golden Tate is also, you know, and that's one thing Beauclair said yesterday. You know, we talked about, like, three things that are key, and he went with, like, Golden Tate becoming a key part of the offense. I have my doubts about that. But then again, at this point, given the state of the receiving core, that'd be a nice injection of playmaking if you could get something out of them.
Yeah, it would, and we'll see if that starts this week against the Jaguars. I mean, just purely from a curiosity standpoint, like if Julio Jones is healthy, I'm curious to see what he looks like. Like, I don't think we've seen fully healthy Julio Jones since Seattle, and he was really good in that game. Now, you know, he's had his – obviously made some plays since then, but you know, the Seattle game at this point is the Julio Jones game for the Titans, and if you can approach what he looked like in Seattle, that is that would be a very welcome sight for this receiving core at the moment. I get it, it's Jacksonville, I don't care, like, you need as many playmakers out there as you can get at this point for this Titans offense. To get him back would be big coming up on Sunday. If he's, you know, I don't expect him to be Seattle Julio Jones. I think that's probably unrealistic at this point, but if he's anywhere close to being able to stay on the field and make some plays, move the chains for this offense, you at least give the defense something to think about out there too, which is probably an underrated part of this, because right now, think back to that New England game, I don't imagine Bill Belichick spent much time staying up the night before worrying about the Titans receiving core. Just my guess.
Right, exactly. And I mean, if I'm the Jags looking at that last game, I'm like, okay, well, we can't let them do that to us, you know. So you would think there'd be some, emphasis on not letting those guys run the ball. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, you're definitely right that was his best game. I thought, like, in the first half against the Chiefs, I mean, I know, I, just on that one play, what was that, like a 20-yarder where he's bowling through
the D? He looked like
a
monster. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, that looks like the Julio Jones we remember. I mean, he did have those back-to-back weeks, so he had 3 for 59 against the Bills, and that included that sideline, you know, the acrobatic catch. And then you go to second half against the Chiefs is when, you know, it's a problem. And I mean, he was out there against the Rams, made some big plays. I don't know. It was hard to tell. Was he sort of limited that night? Was he 80%? I don't know. But he played. And then obviously we haven't seen him since the Rams game. I thought, you know, maybe he had gotten himself back to full go around the Bills-Chiefs time. But again, then you have another tweak. So, you're talking weeks and weeks after Seattle. I mean, it's just a roller coaster.
Well, this is big for him because, number one, you want to get on the field anyway. But number two, like, if he continues to have an issue with hamstrings moving forward here the rest of this year, like, what does this do for him big picture in his career? Like, look, the Titans part of this has not gone to plan so far. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, there's still a chance that he could really help them as they move forward here. But if the hamstring continues to be an issue as they move down the stretch, you're talking about last year missing half a season because of hamstring, basically a hamstring plaguing you the whole season this year with the Titans. I think it's fair to question at that point what the rest of Julio Jones' NFL career is going to look like if this continues to be an issue.
Oh, no question. I mean, I think we're already there. I mean, Remember when they traded for him, there was talk about, well, he might want a redone deal. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's at this point, it's like prove that you are still, one, a guy who can play a full season or the bulk of a season. You're talking about 32 years old, so he's going to turn 33 in February, you know. So it goes fast on you in this league. And, I mean, and his career is that of a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's got to 12,000 faster than anyone in NFL history, you know, faster than Jerry Rice, who had the record before that. So that's secure. And obviously, I think for him, you're trying to get a ring. And he can still be a part of that, of doing something like that. But I think the long-term outlook on his career has to be affected. Although, what's interesting, though, is like it's not like this is like an ACL that he can't get over,
right,
or a back or, you know, something like that where it's like a chronic, really serious injury. So if you're in his camp, you're like, well, it's been a bad couple years, but it's a hamstring, you know? So, but then again, is he going to still be, you know, torching people at 35? I mean, it happens sometimes, but it's definitely, it looks like a guy who's logged a ton of snaps and say was incredibly durable for a long time and is starting to show his age.
Well, that's the thing that's so frustrating about it, and I'm sure from his standpoint as well, is it is hamstring. It's like it's not like you've suffered some major knee injury. It's just a repeated problem with a soft tissue injury. And I'm sure, I mean, we saw the video that TD put up a few weeks ago when he retweaked the hamstring that time. I mean, you could hear him. He was visibly upset about what just happened to him. So, like, that's the frustrating part about it, because you think that you're over it, and then all of a sudden it just flares back up. And there's not really a way, if you're the Titans, to plan for that. Like, if he's good enough to run, you got to put him out there and try to play him and just take the risk that it's going to be what it is. Like, would I be surprised if we run into another issue this year with Julio Jones' hamstring? No. It's been that way all year. But, like, if you're the Titans, at some point you can't operate that way. Like, you've got to get him on the field and see if he can help you. So, look, I don't know if he's going to play this week, but my guess is, like, if he gets through practice this week and there's no sign of any lingering issue, they're probably going to put him out there.
Yeah, like if you had more cushion, you know, like if you had just beaten the Texans.
Yeah.
Or you were just healthier elsewhere or whatever, then I think it'd probably be easier to make the decision of, you know, do you really want to, why not take one more week against this team? You're going to be fine. Now, of course, no one would ever say that out loud in the building, but you know who you're playing. But I think given the situation, I mean, he could make the difference in this game. I mean, if you're the Titans or a Titans fan, you hope it doesn't come to that. But who knows? I mean, it's so hard to know what this team is.
ESPN 102.5 The Game and Music City Man Cave wanted to treat one lucky listener to a Manistee treatment package. Text CAVE now to 615-737-1025. That's CAVE to 615-737-1025 and be entered for a chance to win the Music City Man Cave Christmas giveaway. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, or maybe we in the national media underrating the Titans based solely on what we've seen the last couple of weeks. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, talking Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Ron texting in. I would have to say that the Patriots' remaining schedule is starting to look better than ours, or should I say easier? This coming from Ron on the text line. The Patriots moving to 9-4 last night. So saying that the Patriots' schedule looks easier than the Titans as they move forward. Now, the Patriots still do have the Colts and the Bills left on their schedule. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, it's I think the Colts right now are you know, pretty scary team, the way they're playing, the way they're running the ball, you know, their defense. They're a lot healthier too. I mean, the Colts injury issues were very heavy early, and they have actually, like, they've gotten in really good shape. So that's a big one. That's a Saturday night game. So I guess the Colts and the Patriots are both off this week.
Yep.
Well, that's fair. They both are off, and then they both play each other the next week. And then, yeah, I called the shot. I'm telling you. Bill's going to go into Foxborough, restore a little bit of order in the AFC East.
That's right.
So, I certainly could be wrong there. That would be six. That would be six losses for the Patriots. You know, if you're the Titans, obviously you don't have the tiebreaker with the Patriots. So, can you go 4-1? Can you go 4-1? I mean, I don't know that the Patriots are definitely going to lose those two games, but I think there's a chance. And also, by the way, you know, Miami has worked themselves, what is it, five in a row?
I believe it's now. Is it? Is,
yeah,
yeah,
they're
it is five.
One and seven. So they've worked themselves, which of course also makes that a tougher game for the Titans potentially. The last two games of the season for the Dolphins are here in Nashville on the 2nd, and then they host the Patriots, which could be a win and get in game for them. It could be. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be in that position or not, but I will say that, like, Tua
looks pretty good, man.
Is playing pretty well at this point. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, this look at this win streak for the Dolphins. Texans 17-9. Now, they did beat the Ravens in that Thursday night game when the bulk of the reaction was like, oh my gosh, Ravens, what are you doing? And it's still probably fair, but I mean, that was kind of the Dolphins figuring some things out. They go beat the Jets by a touchdown. They did roll the awful now Panthers, and then they handled the Giants, and now they get the Jets. So that's a ticket to 7-7. You know, they go to New Orleans. They could certainly win that, especially if, well, good old Taysom has anything to do with it.
Oh, he's going to have some bounce back games coming up pretty soon.
I'm sure. No, I'm sure he'll be a hell of a lead blocker on some, you know, some full back ISO stuff for the Saints. So, I mean, the Dolphins could be 8-7 and really fighting for a playoff spot coming in here on January 2nd. But maybe that also, I mean, who knows? It's like, how many of these results? I mean, I think I was going to do something this week where it's like, look at all the remaining schedules and, you know, try to figure. But it's also such a pointless exercise, because there are going to be at least a handful of games between now and the end of the season in the AFC that don't go according to the odds makers.
Yeah, and if you're the Titans, you've got the Jags, Steelers, the Niners, who, by the way, just blew one the other day against the Seahawks. They'd been playing so well, and that was a bad loss for the 49ers the other day. The Dolphins, and then the Texans to close out the season. Maybe Davis Mills at starting quarterback for that last game there. Tyrod's looked a little rough the last couple of games.
I never would have thought that, like, they would willingly replace Tyrod Taylor with Davis Mills.
Yeah.
But that's your guy.
Davis has seen it coming the whole time, man. Yeah, he's ready for it.
I knew that was coming.
John McClain started talking about putting Davis Mills in on Twitter the other day, and I was like, yes, sir. Come on. Let's get him in there.
Incredible. I don't even know. Like, I know they didn't score, so he must not have done that well, but I turned away once the game got out of hand. And did not come back because, you know, there was a huge Lions-Vikings game on.
Yes. Yes, there was. I mean, the Steelers game for the Titans, I don't know that you're necessarily all that worried about the Steelers' offense at this point based on what we've seen. But you do need to be worried about T.J. Watt maybe sacking your quarterback like 8 times in that game. He's on pretty good tear right now.
Yeah. They're such a – well, they're a lot like everybody, but I stupidly, like, kind of discounted them a couple weeks ago because they've obviously had some real rough performances. But then they, I mean, you throw out their records and these division rivals, you know, meet. But yeah, they have a good defense. It's just weird because, like, the Bengals just destroy them. You know, back to back weeks, that defense gives up 41 points both weeks. Coming off the nice tie with the Lions.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, this is a bad football team. Well, now they beat the Ravens. They're 6-5-1. I mean, they're in there. They're fighting. That's actually a really interesting game coming up here. Now, wait a minute. Oh, that's Thursday night. Okay. That's actually an interesting game. Steelers at Vikings. Vikings somehow, I mean, the Vikings should be, like, eliminated now. They should, yes, like, they should just be, like, you're relegated, okay? You're relegated to the Mid-American Conference. You're not allowed to make the playoffs. But they actually still have a decent chance to make the playoffs in that conference.
Ugh. Yes.
I mean, that
bottom part's a little rough over there.
It's a little rough.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So the Patriots beat the Jets, Texans, Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, and Titans without any skill players, and the Bills in a freaky win game. They are a mirage.
I kind of agree with that. Now, I'm not saying full-on mirage because I think their D's legit. They have a good defense. And I like their – I mean, their running backs are good. Ramondre Stevenson is he's fun to watch. He's a load. But, yeah, their receivers don't scare you. And Mac Jones is – fine. He's fine. I think when you get them into a playoff game where inevitably that guy at some point it's like it's on you.
Yep.
I don't think this is their year. We'll see. But I agree. There's a little bit of smoke and mirrors with where they are. You know, speaking of this whole situation with the Steelers, I mean, this really means I didn't think about this, but now the Steelers are going to have like a mini break. You know, they're going to have extra time to rest and all that and be prepared for the Titans. That's happened to the Titans a few times this year. Been on the wrong side of that. So, but that's
Vrabel needs to email the schedule makers in the NFL.
Yeah, or maybe
like what's going on here, man?
Tweet them. If there's an NFL schedule maker Twitter account, then he should tweet at them. But that game looks to me like, again, we're already looking past this week's game because it's like we did when they were about to play.
Oh, I'm not looking past this.
Well, I will. That's going to be a toss-up, low-scoring game in Pittsburgh, right?
I would think so.
I mean, no one's scoring 40 in that game.
I would be very surprised. Unless Julio Jones is healthy, man, just slinging that thing around.
You know, the big thing for the Titans is are Landry and Long all good now?
Right.
You know, hammy for both, right? The hammy virus. The hammy virus hit both of them. Are they both good? Their defense is so much better with both of them full go. And obviously Landry wasn't himself and Long didn't play last game. That right there, you know, would be such a difference. For as important as like Julio Jones is to help the offense, like their defense has lost some steam here.
So it feels like a lot of people are down on the Titans right now, understandably so, based on what we've seen the last two games. It's not been pretty against the Texans and the Patriots. Actually, a pretty good weekend for the most part for the Titans this weekend. Now you're the number two seed heading into this final stretch run here, hopefully getting a little bit healthier. Are people maybe going a little bit overboard on the jumping off of the Titans boat that we've seen the last couple of weeks based on the injuries that they've had and hopefully some players that they're getting back as they move forward here?
Well, it's just interesting how they locally, nationally, whatever, it's like they're kind of just discounted, I feel like. And again, you lose to the Texans and you probably – I mean, if I'm going to talk about the Vikings being relegated,
yeah,
then I mean, I guess you could say the same things about the Titans, right? Relegated to the, you know, the OVC.
At least the Texans had a win at that point.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, I think the problem with analyzing the Titans is just not knowing so many health statuses, so many key players. But I mean, it's not like there's anything other than the whole big question about Derrick Henry. That's probably the difference maker between a team that could go to the Super Bowl and a team that, you know, maybe can get a playoff win. But again, I still think this team without him could beat, you know, some of these teams in the playoffs. And I just feel like it's just hard to know. Yeah, I do. I think there's a little bit of kind of underrating, dismissing them right now. I still think they have great opportunity in front of them.
I think they do too. And look, I mean, so far you look at the way they've played, the last two games have been brutal. If you could just get some guys back, I mean, the offensive side of the ball in that Patriots game, it's kind of amazing that they hung around in that game based on who was playing. I mean, just think about the wide receivers in that game. No disrespect to friend of the show, Nick Westbrook-Akina, but when he's your number one guy out there, That's not a good spot to be in. And obviously, the Titans felt the same way because they didn't try to throw the ball that much in that game either. You're trying to run the ball and ran the ball with great success. That, to me, is another big question as they move forward here, too. Like, what was that? Was that a one-time thing that they were able to run the ball on the Patriots that way? And you're going to get, you know, back to reality a little bit this week? Or did they figure something out in the running game where you feel like that could still be a big weapon for you moving forward? Because first couple of games without Derrick Henry, it was not a weapon. If you can get it back to a place where it is, obviously we've seen what a difference maker that could be for this offense.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think that's where, again, this offensive line, two different jobs, run blocking, pass blocking, yes. Totally different jobs. In the run blocking department, I thought, you know, yeah, the backs ran well. But, again, like the Saffold-Lewan combo over there, whew, looked pretty good against a really good defense. So yep. I think that is something you can carry forward. And maybe the platoon thing is the best thing with the running backs. But you can't count on busting big runs like that. But they had a lot of good runs in there too.
Yeah.
And they were moving the line of scrimmage. So I think that's something. And there's what another area where with Saffold, with Ben Jones, you would think that, well, and we'll see with Nate Davis. I mean, another really big question here is Nate Davis moving forward. I would argue that Nate Davis, not that I have the PFF grades of every offensive guard in the league, but I would argue that he was probably working his way around the top 10 or something. I mean, he was a really good young guard last year.
Yep.
Obviously, this year has been totally different in all kinds of issues. So if you get – if you're way better there now after this time period, if this time off, then that's huge for your offense. Now, what about the pass blocking? Yeah, I don't know. I do think Lewan, though, has rounded into form and is playing a lot better. So that's such – it's still a line of scrimmage game. And I think there's some reason to be optimistic as we wait and see with Nate Davis.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Are people underselling the Titans? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Haven't even talked one bit about that. My message today had nothing to do with our record, anybody else's record, the standings or playoffs. It had everything to do with, you know, getting back to the basics and the fundamentals and just really working some, you know, technique and bringing guys back together, all the little things, getting in and out of the huddle, communicating, just getting out there and practicing.
Why is that the important tone for you to set as opposed to the other stuff?
Because I don't think any of the other stuff really matters. I don't think that matters what other teams are doing other than us.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference, keeping the message the same. The main thing for Mike Vrabel, as it always is, focusing on this week, the here and now with his team as they get back into the fold this week. Nice, typical Vrabel yesterday at his press conference. I enjoyed it. It's good stuff.
Well, I listened to some of Vrabel's coach show, and he was asked why media ask him questions that they already know the answer to, and he said, "I think they just like to hear me talk."
Yes.
Wait, that's iconic.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
We love the sweet sounds of Mike Vrabel's voice. The smooth, smooth sounds.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Wayne from Spring Hill texting in. Joe has a great idea. The NFL can relegate the last team in each division to the AAF, and the conference champions of the AAF can be promoted to the NFL. There you go. Just send them down.
Or the USFL. The USFL is coming back.
Yeah, it is.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that, because I will always cherish the actual USFL as a kid.
Yeah.
And now it's like they're bringing back the...
You know, same teams.
Yeah, and then the uniforms and stuff, which is cool. I can get some Michigan Panthers gear, but yeah, maybe the USFL could be. I mean, there's a new spring league every couple of years that immediately fails. So, but yeah, a little relegation. Why don't we have that? I mean, yeah, if you ever talk to anybody from, like, Europe, you know, like really anywhere around the world about sports, they're all blown away. Like, so you have your colleges –
and then they have the teams. They're not pros, so but people go to those games, huh?
Yeah.
Like that's okay. But then they, so, you know, they don't get that. I don't know why we don't adopt
relegation.
I love it. Relegation's awesome.
I'm with you. James texting in, knowing how to get in and out of the huddle is very important, Coach. We appreciate that. Yes, it is.
Fundamentals, baby, fundamentals.
Mike texting in, talking about this Titans team. It is an overreaction. There won't be any teams in the playoffs with losing records to play. So the Titans cannot screw up in the playoffs against any team with losing records. So
yeah,
Mike feeling a little bit better about things.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Like, you won't have to deal with some ridiculous bad team that would somehow beat you. George on Twitter says, Vrabel said on his show, I didn't hear this, the left side played bad against New England. He holds that side of the line to a high standard. First of all, I need to hear the audio that he said something like they played bad.
That doesn't sound like something he would say.
Yeah, that's
even if they did.
That's not typically something that he would say. Yeah, but if he wasn't satisfied with how they play, that's interesting because I don't have the breakdown. But boy, a lot of those 270 yards came going that way.
Yep. Scott in Hopkinsville texting in. I think Titans fans got way too high on this team in the beginning and are now back to reality, which feels like we're underselling them. This is coming from Scott on the text line.
So what's reality then? The problem is, like, no one can actually answer that. But I would answer that if they get healthy, then I think they're as much a contender to get out of the AFC as anybody. But it's just, I mean, again, they've had some terrific performances way less than healthy.
Right.
They also were like totally healthy when Arizona came in here and destroyed them. But, I mean, you know, how much do you take out of that week one of the NFL season, you know? I mean, they've gotten a lot. They were getting a lot better. They were progressing. Like Beauclair made the point, you know, yesterday on the show, you know, 2 years ago there was a clear upward trajectory for the team. Now, that a lot of that had to do with Tannehill taking over. It also had a lot to do with the offensive line, which was missing Luan, all that stuff, a lot of things like that. But they were healthy down the stretch too.
Right.
So last year they played their best football early. They had this, although, you know, it's funny because even during that stretch they had a lot of close wins. It's not like they were overwhelmingly good. It's not always. It's also not like you can find Super Bowl runs from teams that limped into the playoffs. You know, there's. It's not like it's always the team that's on the hot streak that comes in and then keeps it going in the playoffs.
The New York Giants twice.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what, you know. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I do think that this team is probably more of a contender in the AFC than a lot of people think at this point. Yeah, if a team loses to the Texans, you want to throw dirt on them. I can't blame you, but this team has been so all over the place and is so banged up that it's just very hard to evaluate it.
Well, and the other part of this is, you know, we've talked a lot about Julio Jones, but what about A.J. Brown? Like, when is A.J. Brown going to be back in things? Like, you brought this up. He's on IR, so he has to be out three games. That doesn't mean that three games is all it's going to be. Like, A.J. Brown, I mean, he could be out longer. We have no idea when A.J. Brown's going to be back, so lots of questions on the injury front. You did bring up Taylor Lewan, and I agree. Like, I think he's rounding into form, playing better. And you know, brought up the first game. Like, I'd be interested, like, if they played that Arizona game again right now, this week, how much different would it look from the standpoint of Taylor Lewan and the way that he plays?
Like, well, yeah, it'd probably look different.
Yeah, a lot different.
Yeah, it would from him. Yeah, of course. The Cardinals would be like, oh, we don't have to play against Derrick Henry,
right,
and Julio Jones and A.J.
Exactly.
Brown. Sounds good. Sign us up. But, yeah, he's gotten better, healthier, and I feel like and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. If the offensive line, again, we're still waiting for the first game where the five starters start it and they finish and play the entire game. Never happened all year. What if you start getting that week after week?
Do you think on Sunday, if Taylor Lewan has to go out for like a play or two because of a cramp, and he comes back in and the PA announcer says, now back at left tackle, number 77, Taylor Lewan, you think he gets cheered this time instead of booed?
He's giving up several sacks today, folks. Taylor Lewan!
maybe to this day, still my favorite moment from this Titan season.
Yeah, Taylor's too. Yes. He was really happy about that. Oh, man.
Think the reaction would be different now? I think it would.
I would think so. I would, yeah.
I would think that he would get cheered. Most days, I'd think he'd get cheered. Doesn't take much, though.
It does not. So let's throw out this disaster scenario for you. Let's say the Titans lose to Jacksonville coming up on Sunday. So that would mean in one season you lost to the Jets, the Texans, and the Jags, and you've beaten the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Rams. How in the world do you have any idea what to make of this team if that happens coming up on Sunday?
Well, if that happens, then I'm back open to the Colts winning the division.
Yeah.
You know, like you, again, the Titans, I don't think the Colts are going to win out. They still have to go to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is fighting for the one. But
Colts already played Tampa Bay.
No, they already played Tampa Bay. They have to go to Arizona.
Yeah.
I had it mixed up. In Arizona, fighting for the one seed. So, you know, they've got two straight Saturday primetime games, Patriots, Colts. I don't think they're going to win out. But if you lose this, now they know that they have an opening. And, you know, like if you're the Titans, you have to look at this week and look at today and look at this rep and, you know, live in the moment. But you have to win this game and you have to win the last game. And then you just need one more win of the other three games and the Colts can win out and it doesn't matter.
Yep.
If you lose this game, yeah. I mean, like missing the playoffs is on the table.
God, it's scary to think about, but you're right.
But it is.
Jeez. One thing I can promise you this. One thing I am not going to do this week that I've done twice this year is look past the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've looked past the Texans. I've looked past the Jets. I'm not doing it this week, Rex Road.
But
I have faith in Urban Meyer.
You're allowed to do it.
I'm allowed. I'm not going to do it, though.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not gone well.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably, especially not knowing the state of a lot of guys still on this team, keep an open mind on what could happen Sunday.
Yeah. Henry texting in, at the end of the day, healthy or not, Tannehill has to protect the ball or they will lose to Jacksonville, and the defense has to create turnovers. I know it's obvious, but it's been a really big problem. That's coming from Henry on the text line.
9-0 in the last two games. Yep. I mean, if you want to say, well, you know, how did you lose this game or that game? If you're over 2 weeks, not down minus -9, the turnover department, it would be shocking to win either game.
Well, and we've talked a lot about the Titans' turnovers that they're committing. It would be nice to start to force some as well as you move forward here too. Which I mean, they got into a 4 or 5 week stretch where they were forcing a lot. That has not been the case as of late. Got to get back to that. Maybe a good opportunity on Sunday against Jacksonville for that.
Yeah, and to do that, rushing the passer often helps that.
It does.
So you might want to try to get back to that.
When we come back, we got a special edition of the Rex Rant coming up with a thing
that's
near.
Rant.
It's a mini rant.
It's a mini rant.
But it's near and dear to your heart. And I'm looking forward to this coming up next from Joe Rexroad. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.